You're my glory. You're the victor of my day.
Amen. Let's take your song once again as the choir makes their way to their seats. Number 348, My Hope is in the Lord. Shall we stand together and sing? Number 348.
failed you, Lord, time after time. But each time you've always stayed true. And that's why I kneel at the cross once again and ask to draw closer to you. Closer to you, Lord. Closer, I pray. Help me draw closer to your will today. It doesn't matter what others may do. I just want to draw closer to you. Lord, I surrender all that I have for whatever you would have me to do. I have faith in your promise. I know you a way to draw closer to you, closer to you, Lord, closer, I pray. Help me draw closer to your will today. It doesn't matter what others may do. I just want to draw closer to you. It doesn't matter what others may do. I just want to draw closer to you.
That be the prayer of our hearts, that we draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to your Bibles this morning, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're almost done with the Fruit of the Spirit series. We've been off it for a few weeks because of Christmas and such. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at faith this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you found your place, look in verse 22 with me this morning. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. We'll look today at faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so today will be the last in our series. I started with temperance. I just had been preaching on that passage. And so I started with temperance, and we put meekness with goodness and gentleness. And so today is the last in our series, chapter 8, our eighth message on faith. But of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on our time together as we dig into the Word of God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to get into Your Word today. And we pray, Lord, that You'd help us as we finish up this series. And we've been a bit interrupted, so I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to remember and put the whole passage together now. And Father, as we look at faith today and how it is a fruit of the Spirit, we pray You'd help us understand and apply it to our lives. Fill me, I pray. I need Your help. And may the same Spirit of God help each one of us. And Father, we'll give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it seems like we've come full circle in a sense. Initially, it was simple childlike faith that invited the Holy Spirit to indwell us. When I became a child of God and when you became a child of God, the Holy Spirit came into your life and sealed you unto the day of redemption. He indwells you, and He promises He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ made the promise, "Lo, I am with you always." And we know that when He said that, He meant in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. He breathed on those disciples in John chapter 20, and he said, "Receive ye the Spirit." And the very next day, he made the promise, "Lo, I am with you always." That Spirit will never depart. You are a child of God because of the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting to me because as a child of God, when I put childlike faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He imparted His Holy Spirit. But now the Bible says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith. It's almost saying which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Because we have faith, we have the Holy Spirit, which builds more faith. And from that faith, we have a greater filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're a child of God, it shouldn't be that difficult to understand. When we are first saved, it is just that. It is a childlike faith. It's a small faith. It's enough faith to put your faith in Jesus Christ and to trust Him and Him alone for salvation. And that childlike faith imparts the Holy Spirit. But as that Holy Spirit comes into our life and begins to bear fruit in our lives, our faith increases and our faith grows. This is not talking about a childlike faith. It's talking about a faith that will grow and be able to stand the tests of time. How many of you know for a fact that in this life there are tests and trials? You understand that, don't you? The Bible says offenses must come. They come. And a childlike faith is often not enough to get you through them. We often will tell somebody that accepts Christ as Savior, "Now hold on, because the devil's going to try you this week." He wants to attack that childlike faith. He wants to try to get you while you're still young and haven't grown very much yet. And so that's why it's so important that we understand that when the Holy Spirit comes in, we need to use the Holy Spirit's presence in our life and allow Him to teach us the Word of God. Now the Bible says, "When the Comforter is come, He shall guide you into all truth." Now the Word of God is truth, amen? Thy Word is truth. Jesus Christ says, "Sanctify them with Thy Word and sanctify them with truth." Ephesians 5 says that we are washed by the water of His Word. And so we need to understand that when the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into all truth, He is here to illuminate or teach us the Word of God. So we need to get into the Word of God. And by doing so, the Holy Spirit will build your faith. You know, Paul said that we ought to go on to perfection. Go on unto perfection. Now, if we're going to talk about perfection today, all of us would have to honestly say we have fallen short of the mark. There's none of us perfect. Let me ask you, ladies, how many of you have a perfect husband? Anybody? But if I were to ask the men, we'd have to answer the same, wouldn't we? There's nobody perfect. There's none righteous. No, not one. None righteous. So what's it mean to be perfect? The word perfect means complete or mature. We are to go on unto maturity. We are to go on unto completeness. And that means we need to grow. Paul said when he became a man, he put away childish things. He put away those things. We were teasing yesterday. Some of the men were in my office, all the groomsmen and Daniel and Pastor Scott and I were in there. And we had some prayer with the guys. And Colin was trying to pick on Pastor Scott a little bit. And it backfired a little bit. And the guys were young men, you know what I mean? They're young men, and they're talking about these superhero movies and things, Superman and Batman, and you know, they're talking. I said, you know, I was about 16 when that first Batman movie came out, and I said, it bored me. I said, I wasn't interested, so I haven't seen any of those I said, those superheroes, this don't interest me. And so Colin thought he'd pick on Pastor Scott, and he says, "Well, Pastor Scott, I bet you've got the Superman little doll on your, and you've got the Batman doll, and you've got all these things." And he was teasing him, and Pastor Scott says, "No, I had a girlfriend." Amen. I thought that was good, because when you become a man, you put away childish things. Amen. Amen. But isn't that true? How many of you know, young men, when you grew up, you might have enjoyed baseball cards and you might have enjoyed these G.I. Joes and things like that. But when you got to a certain age, all of a sudden you said, you know what, I'm going to grow up. I want to get married. I want to have a family. And so you put away childish things. Well, the same is true spiritually. You need to go on from the sincere milk of the Word and grasp some meat. You know, we have Harmony over on Wednesdays. She comes over. And when she first started coming over, it was just milk and a little bit of Cheerios, you know. But now, man, she eats us out of house and home. She'll eat anything. I'm so thrilled to see it because it means she's growing and healthy. right? Wouldn't you be concerned? I remember when my nephew Cole was born, for a long time he didn't put on any weights. And there was a real concern there when he didn't grow and when he wasn't putting on weight. You know what they did? They took him to a doctor. When we don't grow spiritually, we ought to check out what's going on. We ought to say, how come I'm still just drinking milk? How come I'm not growing? And I understand as a child of God, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. But Paul says we need to go on unto perfection. We don't need to lay the foundation of Christ again, but instead we need to build on that foundation. We need to grow. We need to mature. And that's what this faith is all about. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. In other words, your faith will grow. The Bible says in Jude 22, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build on that faith. Allow it to grow in Christ Jesus. Well, a childlike faith begins your spiritual life. But then you need to go on to perfection. You need to grow. And I'm here to tell you that trials will come. There will be days where you'll need a stronger faith that cannot be shaken. Let's look at, and we're going to back up a little bit today. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to give you first the definition of faith. If we're going to grow our faith and expand our faith and allow the Holy Spirit to build upon our faith, then we need to know what faith is. So turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I know this is, again, I'm going to give you the milk of the Word first. Then we'll move on to some meat. But Hebrews chapter 1 Hebrews chapter 11 talks about what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11. It's just defined very simply in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the realization of all that man ever looked for in life, and it's found right in Jesus Christ. He is the substance of those things that are hoped for. Everything you ever desired, everything you ever hoped for. He said, well, I just hope to die and go to heaven one day. Well, that substance is in Jesus Christ. He said, well, I hope that there's life after death. You won't have it without Jesus Christ. You see, everything comes back to having faith in Him. So faith is that substance of things hoped for, and Jesus Christ is that object of our faith. He said, well, for faith then, to be active, we have to have knowledge, don't we? You have to know what you're trusting. You know, somebody might say, well, you just need to trust me. Well, I'm only going to trust you if you have a pattern established that you are trustworthy. That I know that you are somebody. Have you ever been into a store or something and somebody might say to you, you've never met them before and you're trying to get something taken care of at the courtesy counter and say, well, just trust me, I'll take care of it. Well, I've got no reason to trust you. You've not proven yourself. But here, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that Jesus Christ is tried and true. And if we will put our faith in Him, He is the substance of things hoped for. But you have to have knowledge of Him. The Bible says, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How can you have faith in somebody you've never heard of? There can be little faith unless you know what it is you're putting your faith in. And let me introduce you to somebody today you can trust. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. We can put our faith and trust in Him because He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning of the end. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. That's who we can put our trust in. We can put it in Jesus Christ. If you know Him today, your faith can grow. Well, friends, I want to encourage you, that's where you must first place your faith, is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. The Bible says He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him. But then we must also, more than just knowing Christ, we must assent to the truth. You must come in an agreement that this is actually the truth of God. Years ago, I had a visit to make, and I went with a fellow from the church in Hamilton, Larry Brown, and Brittany's dad, and your father-in-law, or Brittany's dad, your sister-in-law, I should say. And so we went to do this visit together, and we were in a lady's apartment, and she lived in the same building as Mr. Brown. And so he had been talking to her, and so she said, well, I want to talk to the pastor. So we went up, and we sat down with her. And we began to go over the scriptures, and I opened up the book of Romans, of course, and began to talk about the Romans road, and for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin. And she said, let me ask you this, who wrote that book? We said, "You, what do you mean, the Bible or the book of Romans?" And she said, no, I want to know who wrote Romans. We said, well, we believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the book of Romans, but the human author was the Apostle Paul. I don't want to hear it then. He says, I don't agree with the thing that Paul said. Paul was a chauvinist. And we begin to back up in case lightning struck. You know what I mean? We were nervous. But you know what we came to realize is she wasn't ready to accept Christ because she wasn't ready to believe the Bible. And you say, well, that's what Paul... No, that's not what Paul said. The Holy Spirit of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible says, for the Scripture came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. And so we need to understand that this is God's Word. You can open up the Bible and you can look at it and you have these fancy little titles, probably like I do. The Bible says right there, the revelation of St. John the Divine. No, it's not. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says so right in the first verse. This is God's book. If I were to say to you, what's the book of Jonah all about? And you say, well, it's about Jonah and the whale. No, it's a book about God and how He dealt with mankind. This is God's book. And yes, there are characters and there's human beings and there's whales and there's all kinds of other things that have to do. But listen, it's all about God and what He has done for us. And so we have to give assent to it. It's not enough just to say it. It's just not enough just to know it. But you have to believe in your heart. That's what faith is about. Then there's also the pledge. The most important part of your faith is for one to have knowledge of Christ and that He is able is to rest your salvation upon Him. I could run around all day and say, well, I see that pew there and I believe that pew will hold me and I can sit on that pew and it'll hold me up. But unless I actually sit down, I've not pledged my faith, have I? I've not taken the moment to test it and try it. It's the same with our faith in Christ. You say, well, yeah, I believe. But as soon as the trial comes, if we refuse to pray, if we refuse to trust Him, well, I trust the Lord with everything, but I don't tithe. Do you really trust Him with everything? I was here yesterday for the wedding, right up here. We were doing the vows. And during the rehearsal, that we were going back and forth, and one of the things they say is, with all my earthly goods, I thee endow. And Carla kind of snickered. She says, he's not getting much. But you know, newlyweds don't have much anyway, do they? But to say, with all my earthly goods, but listen, when you come into a relationship with Christ, that's what you're laying everything down. You're saying, I trust you fully. But unless you can actually do that in practice, have you truly trusted Christ? See, that's what faith is all about. It's about knowing. It's about believing. But it's also about testing. And pledging your faith and trusting Him through the difficult times. Are you in agreement with God? So the Bible says definition of faith is the faith is the substance of things hoped for. But it's also the evidence of things not seen. How many of you today can attest to the fact that since you've known Christ as your Savior, the fruit of the Spirit is love and it is joy and it is peace. There are some trying times in this life. But if we know Christ, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, I went back to Faith Baptist Church after Dad died, and I had to get in the pulpit, of course, on Sunday. The funeral was Friday, and Sunday we were in the pulpit. And I was talking to our folks, and our folks have been so good to us. And so I'm breaking down a little bit trying to thank them. And I said this, I said, I've had joy all week. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is something that the world does not give and the world cannot take it away. Joy should not be changed because of our circumstances. Now, our happiness goes up and down, doesn't it? A roller coaster can make you happy for 2 or 3 minutes. But it does not give you joy. But Jesus Christ can come and give you joy. Was I happy? I wasn't happy that Dad died. I wasn't happy that I had to stand at a graveside. I wasn't happy about any of the things that happened that week, but I still had the joy of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the difference. The world can give you happiness. Pleasure can come from but a moment. The Bible says sin has pleasure for a season, but only joy comes from Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit's presence in your life. You see, that's what faith will do. It's evidence in our life. You say, how do you know you're saved? Because I've got joy. I've got peace. Now, that's not the sum total of my evidence, but that's some of the evidence. The Holy Spirit gives it to me. And he attests to my heart through these things that I'm his child. Because we have these things in our lives. It's evidence. That's the definition of faith. You say, well, what is the purpose? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 gives us the purpose of faith. Well, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said, well, I can please God by putting my offering in the offering plate. Not if you do it without faith. If you're just giving out of obligation, if you're giving with a sour heart, if you're giving so other people will see you give, that's not the right purpose. But if we are giving because we are doing it by faith and trying to be pleasing to God, and then we will please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Someone has said this, the goal of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is absolutely true, but I believe it's overstated. The primary goal of man is to glorify God. And if you are glorifying God, you will enjoy Him forever. You don't have to state that. If we will do everything in our power on a daily basis to be pleasing to God, we will glorify Him. And by the way, He'll also glorify you. He will pronounce your name before the angels in heaven if we are unashamed of Him. But you say, how can I do that? How can I be pleasing to God? You can't unless you have faith in your life. Unless your faith is growing. Unless the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is encouraging you and strengthening you in His Word on a daily basis. Grow in your faith. Through His Holy Spirit, I've been indwelt. I've been adopted into His family. I have a heavenly home prepared and waiting. I have the joy of everlasting life. But unless my faith grows, I cannot be pleasing to Him on this earth. Because without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please Him. You know, Cain and Abel learned that right in the beginning, didn't they? One brought their gift by faith, a blood sacrifice. He said, what was so significant? Because he was believing for that perfect sacrifice that would come one day. It was a token of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The other brought just the fruits and vegetables of the ground, the things that he didn't even have to really work for, that God had just sprung up. And he offered them, but they were not offered in faith. God honors a faith that grows. That's the purpose of it. And then there's the trying of our faith. Anything this important must stand the tests of this world. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just over a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 1. The trying of our faith. How many of you are glad to know that when you purchase a new car, that the auto industry has standards and testing? Aren't you glad? Yeah? I don't know if you realize this. I'm sure you do. That they test every little part. Everything. Maybe not at the factory where they assemble the car, but before it ever gets to the factory, the lug nuts are even tested for strength. You know that? How would you like if your lug nuts just flew off? I mean, you know what lug nuts are? That's what holds your wheel on. I had that happen one time. I was coming down the Hamilton Mountain in Stony Creek and had a wheel snap right off. And it hit another car. Unfortunately, the other car was 100 years old and the guy didn't care. Praise the Lord. But aren't you glad that those things are tested? Can you imagine if you're on the QEW, the 401, and you're doing 110 kilometers an hour? Nobody would ever do that fast. But if you were doing 100 kilometers an hour and a tire snapped off, you could flip your car. You see, they test everything. What if your engine exploded? What if you had a wreck and the airbags didn't go off or your seatbelt snapped? I'm thankful that they test stuff. You know, our faith gets tested too. And it gets tried. You say, why does it get tested? Because there's going to be trials. And the Lord allows a little bit of testing, a little bit of trials, a little bit more fire, so that it gets stronger and purer. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, why does my faith get tried? So it's purified. So it becomes stronger. So that it might bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the king, and they were about to be thrown into a fiery furnace, how many of you think that's the very first time their faith was ever tried? Come on. I'm sure from the time they were just children, it was tried every day, just peeking to that very moment, where they'd stand before a king and turn the hearts of an entire nation to God. God was testing them and trying them and preparing them for that moment. You know, sometimes when we go through trials and testings, it's not always about you. God is testing and trying your faith and building your faith that you might be seen by others and strengthen their faith in turn. You know, when Brother Taves was going through the cancer and the battling the cancer, and just got to the end of that test, he called me and he said, I talked to them today and they told me they're not going to waste any more chemo on me because I'm cancer free. They gave him about a week to live when he started. And he came through all that and he said this to me on the phone. He said, Pastor, I honestly believe God allowed me to go through this just so other people in the church can say, hey, God can still beat cancer. He said, I don't think this was about me at all. This was so that others could say, God's still in control. So that's the right kind of attitude. When our faith gets tried, it's not always about you. You say, why am I going through this? Because maybe somebody else needs to be strengthened. The trial of your faith might bring glory to God. That's what it says in 1 Peter 1:7. That the fire might burn away the dross and it might not consume you when real trials come. You know, testing will always purify. The Bible says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1, verse 12. Testing will strengthen, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James chapter 1 and verse 3. There are times when you need more strength than at other times. God is testing and trying your faith that it might grow, that it might stand the test of time, that when real trials come, He'll be glorified. 1 Peter chapter 4, just turn over a page or two. Testing will also glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Would you do me a favor? Would you write 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 in the front of your Bibles? Write that verse down. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, and I'm talking about Christians who have been saved for 40 and 50 years, they'll get sick, something will happen in their life, and they'll say, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I've tried to live right, I've gone to church, I'm faithful. I read my Bible, I pray, I've always done the right thing. I don't understand. Read this verse. The Bible says, think it not strange. Think it not strange in verse 12, I'm back there again, concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not strange. It's not unusual. God's not picking on you. There's a purpose. Read on. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. Testing of our faith will glorify the Lord. You know that testing also brings you closer to Christ? Brother Dorkson just sang, closer to Thee, Lord, closer I pray. I want to draw closer to You. Well, sometimes that comes through trials and testings. In Daniel chapter 3, if you would read the story again with me, and I won't take the time to do it, but we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't we? And they would not bend or bow and bow down to that idol. They wouldn't bend their faith to the old king. So the king heated up that furnace 7 times what it was normally heated. And they were cast into the fire. I wonder if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they heard the proclamation throughout the land. It said, for the next so many days, you can only worship this image of the king. And they said to each other, no, we won't do that. The Lord will take care of us. And then they got hauled before the king and they began to accuse them. And they thought, well, the Lord hasn't stepped in yet, but He's certainly going to step in now. They saw those men heating that furnace up a little bit hotter, and then finally to seven times, and they thought, well, Lord, you better come pretty soon. And they saw those men that were tying them up, and as their hands and their feet are tied and they're being carried towards that fire, I thought, well, Lord, where are you? They see the men be around them as they're being cast into the fire, dropping dead because of the heat. But it wasn't until they were right in the fire that they saw the fourth man. See, Jesus comes right on time. The story of Mary and Martha. And they thought about their brother Lazarus. And the Bible says they sent for Jesus because he was sick. I thought, oh, surely Jesus will come. Surely he'll be coming soon. But it wasn't until after Lazarus was dead for 4 days that he came right on time. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's right on time. See, sometimes the trying of our faith means we have to wait a little bit and have patience, but Jesus will get there right on time. He was the fourth man in the fire, and he's the one that called Lazarus come forth. So you just have to be patient. That's the trying of our faith. It'll bring you closer to Christ. Let me ask you this. When were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the closest to Christ? When he was standing there in the fire with them. The king looked down and says, that fourth man looks like the Son of God. They'd never met him until they got into the trial. Lazarus didn't see Jesus while he was sick. He saw him after he died and was called forth from the grave. See, that's when Jesus is closest to us. It's when we're in that trial. And then we see the end of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, why do I need to grow my faith? Why do I need to allow the Holy Spirit to build this faith? Isn't simple childlike faith enough? Listen, simple childlike faith is enough to take you to heaven. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. It's just that simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no question about that. Childlike faith is enough to go to heaven. But if you want to succeed in this life and you want to bring glory to the Lord, you need to have your faith grow. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, that means after, he shall receive the crown of life. See, there's reward for allowing your faith to grow, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Revelation chapter 2 says this, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Here's the word, be thou faithful, or have faith unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, your faith needs to grow. A childlike faith will sustain, or will save you, but will it sustain you? Is it enough to suffer persecution? Is it enough to stand in the face of death and bring glory to God? You see, those men that were chosen in Acts chapter 6 were men that were honest and of a good report, but also they were full of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that because they were full of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And that man, Stephen, was able to go out and preach the Word of God. And while they were stoning him and gnashing on him with their teeth, biting him, he never cried out even once. Instead, he looked up and he said, behold, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. You see, that's faith. Would a childlike faith accomplish that? Not likely. A childlike faith will often run in the storm for fear. But if you allow your faith to grow by getting into the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit, you say, well, how? Because your Bible reading and prayer got to go together. Don't be afraid to ask God. Lord, send your Holy Spirit, teach me, show me. What am I missing here? Listen, we handed out those Bible reading schedules. We have a few more coming. That's wonderful if you want to read through the Bible in a year. But let me say this. Don't read through the Bible in a year if you're not getting it. If you have to stay on one verse for a week, stay on that verse and get what God has for you. And read it over and over. You say, Pastor, do you read your Bible through in a year? No. What happens is a lot of times I'll get in the book of Ephesians and I'll just read it over and over and over and over. So I've got everything out of it I can. Then I go to another book. Everybody's different. Make sure you're getting something. Allow the Holy Spirit to build your faith. by dwelling in the Word of God. And the end of our faith when we've come through these trials is the salvation of your souls. The Bible says it's a crown of life for those who are faithful and trust in Him. Faith is a vital part of the fruit of the Spirit. Without it, we'd be lost. You can have a childlike faith and you can survive with it because the Spirit is there. He indwells you. But if you want to have abundant life, joy and peace that passes all understanding, you need to allow your faith to grow. So many of us are stunted and stalled. Why don't you take a step this year? Why don't you just say, you know what, I'm going to do what the Bible says, and I'm going to allow my faith to grow. And it's just so much, it's just water of the Word. Feed upon the bread of life. And trust in the Holy Spirit that He will grow and teach you the things that you need to know. To be strong, because persecution is coming. Offenses will come. And you'll need to know how to stand. And it comes by faith. Let's pray. Father, help us understand and speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to impress upon us today the importance of having faith. The importance in trusting in You no matter what. The importance of understanding that trials and persecutions and offenses will come, but those that have faith in Jesus Christ can endure. Not because of their faith, but because of what Christ will do for them. Help us, Lord, the Word. Help us to trust the Holy Spirit to teach us. And Father, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as the hymn of invitation is played.